Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Encova Insurance, where we sit down to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. My name is Ben Waite, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Gene Smith. Gene, before we get going today, how are we doing?
Doing great, Ben. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
It is my distinct pleasure, as always. Gene, it's hard to say that we're still in the winter season of competition here based on the fluctuating temperatures here in Columbus, but why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what we have going on across our sports here?
Actually, this time of year is our busiest time of year. Most people think it's the fall, but it's really this time of year where our winter sports are transitioning to conclusion, and our spring sports have started up. Now, our spring sports are largely out west or in the south, baseball, softball, and the golf teams travel to the Sunshine States to try and have a good weather competition. So they've done well getting their season started. And then we have, men's and women's lacrosse have started up, and I'm really proud of them. They're doing well. And of course, we still have basketball going, and really excited about the opportunities ahead for them, and particularly our women who won a share of the conference title and have a chance to win it outright this week. So those sports are doing well. And women's tennis had a heartbreaker. Women's swimming had a heartbreaker. They lost the conference championship by half a point at West Lafayette this past weekend. And those are those moments when you lose by half a point, you constantly go down a rabbit hole of what ifs, which is always challenging. But that would have been five in a row, which would have been a record. So really proud of those young ladies. They did a great job. And we had a number of individual champions in the women's and men's indoor track championships in the Big Ten. So proud of those teams. And men's wrestling is just getting ready to head off to the NCAA championships. And of course, our men's tennis team won the indoor championship. Really great competition in New York. And now they're on the road to compete against Baylor. And then they're off over the weekend. But just a lot going on, women's tennis competing. And so it's just so much going on. We have 14 teams in the top 25. Just really proud of all of them. And of course, we're getting ready to start up spring football here. So right around the corner.
Start cracking pads.
I'm sure I missed somebody in there. Fencing. Oh, I'm sorry. Fencing won the conference championship this weekend. I forgot about that. Another men's championship we hosted. It was really fun to watch if you haven't seen fencing, and really cool to watch. We actually host the NCAAs this year. It's a different sport with foil and epee and saber. So it's really kind of cool to watch if you've never seen it. And then our women's synchronized swimming team won the North Central championship this weekend at McCorkle. So lots going on.
Yeah, it's hardware season. I think the tennis schedule epitomizes this time of year. You win a national championship and then you immediately keep playing because you're going the next season.
That's right.
But today, Gene, we have a fantastic guest we're very excited about. Our guest today is a former Buckeye student athlete who has gone on to build a successful, multifaceted career and has become an impactful member of our community. He is an NFL veteran, a national champion, a small business owner, a philanthropist, and a host for TV, radio, and podcast properties. Welcome, Bobby Carpenter. Bobby, thanks for being here.
Ben, thanks for having me on. And you also forgot, I'm an adjunct professor over at the Fisher College of Business. So, as we get to this confluence of the year, I'm going to be starting up my classes with the second term of the second spring semester beginning.
Gene's about to have a real open schedule. He might audit your class, Bobby. So
keep a lookout. You don't want this old head in this room.
Bobby, I would love to start, maybe if you could tell the listeners about your journey to OSU for those who aren't familiar.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Growing up in Lancaster, Ohio, door to door from my parents to Morrill Tower, I think it was 38 miles. So I always tell people it was close enough yet far enough. Close enough that I could get home if I needed to after a practice. Do some laundry, get some food, whatever it was, but far enough away that I didn't necessarily have my parents around all the time. They'd come to games, and then they'd go watch my brother's things. And my mom went to Ohio State. She's an alum here. My father went to Miami University in Oxford. So growing up, my mom, you know, she liked Ohio State and we were fans. My dad had a lot of friends that had played all over the place, coached a lot of places. I would be, it'd be disingenuous of me to say that I was the biggest Buckeye fan growing up. There was a point there in the mid to late 90s where I think it kind of began to turn for me. And I love talking to like Ryan Miller about this now. And it used to be, you know, Vrabel and Fickell when I get a chance to see Joey Galloway, but that like 95, 96, those classes, it began to kind of turn. And there was just something captivating about those guys. And then with the 98 team and the success that they were able to have and getting a chance to meet all of those guys now has been fantastic. But that's where I kind of became an Ohio State fan. Going into college recruiting, I tried to keep an open mind. And, you know, now I know in an era of NIL and transfer portal and everything else, you know, go to college, I'm thinking, hey, you know, my dad played in the NFL for 10 years. That would be awesome. But worst case, you know, I want to make sure I get out and I can be gainfully employed and have a great education and be very well connected. And so I visited North Carolina, Northwestern, Michigan State, Notre Dame, you know, Michigan, Penn State, a lot of the Midwestern schools. You know, and I was looking, trying to find that fit of athletics and academics and who was really good at football, but who also had really good schools. And, you know, Notre Dame was going through, you know, Gene, you'll remember this. The I had three coaches recruit me over a year, you know, and sitting there with the George O'Leary hiring. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're spinning around trying to figure out what's going on. And, you know, I was getting recruited at Stanford and oh goodness, the name is escaping me of, Tyron Willingham, you know, they bring him in. He just recruited me at Stanford. He'd been to the high school like a week before. Now he's at Notre Dame. And I'm thinking Stanford was kind of far. Notre Dame is kind of in a little bit of a mess here since they fired Davey. You know, Northwestern actually won the Big Ten championship in 2000, I think. Randy Walker's my dad's high school team or college teammate. They're very close. And yeah, I went there. And, you know, a good friend of mine, Jeff Backus, now is my host. And I went to Ryan Field and, you know, Gene can attest, like going there really wasn't the same environment that I had become accustomed to at Ohio State. And went to North Carolina. It's like, this is great, beautiful first visit. I would have committed that day if my dad would have let me. And then as things begin to settle out, he's like, where do you want to live when you're done? And I was like, you know, probably Central Ohio somewhere. He goes, well, all of these other schools, like, graduating from there, that diploma will get you to the top of the stack. He goes, from there, you've got it on it. Once you get the interview, you're going to have to get it yourself. And so he goes, Ohio State football, if you go there, you keep stay out of trouble, whether you play, you know, 50 plays a game, you know, play on the national championship team, whatever it is you do, as long as you stay out of trouble and you take school seriously, like you're going to have great opportunities in the city of Columbus and really the state of Ohio and really all of Buckeye Nation, but especially here. And that kind of hit me a little bit differently. And then the class of guys that we had, the group of people that were on the team was really special. And then, you know, Coach Trussell, I didn't necessarily know it or appreciate it at the time, did a really great job of helping to develop, you know, myself and my teammates and all of the young men that he brings in there. And so I know it's a little bit of a long-winded answer, but most people think like, oh, you're from Central Ohio. You grew up here. Why wouldn't you just want to be a Buckeye? And you try to look at it through the lens of life. And, I was happy that it all honestly landed here.
When you think back, once you finally got on campus, you know, you moved into Morrill Tower and you spend your years here on campus. What stands out to you the most? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about your experiences here as a Buckeye?
Oh, goodness. You know, I never really walked that much in my life, you know, growing up. Like most guys live in areas where you're not walking. I'm like, man, I gotta walk to class. I'm actually kind of tired now, like moving around. Practice was harder when you're tired. And then, you know, school was tough, but just combining everything. And you're getting up for study table, you're going to class, you got to go to practice, you're playing in front of 100,000 people. We're playing for a national championship my freshman year. Like all of those things, like my freshman year, you feel like you're overwhelmed. And I always tell the guys early on, like, just be patient. Like, it'll just ride it through. Like, try to get better every day and just try to focus on certain things because the enormity of Ohio State, and I think of the gravity of playing in these big games and then the class and the rigors. We recruit smart guys. And so they want to succeed. They're competitive. Like, you don't want to just mail it in and get average grades. Like, these guys want to be competitive. And so I think I had never really fought in that many fronts at the same time of, like, trying to balance all of that out. And then you know, the social elements of school. And hey, it's a big campus. There's a lot of people, friends of mine from high school, other places, guys that are going out and trying to just balance all of that for the first time as, quote, an adult was kind of tough.
When you think back to being on, and you mentioned Coach Tressel already, who obviously had a huge impact on your life, but is there anyone that left an impact or helped guide you in the right direction while you were here on campus?
Tress, I mean, we got these goal sheets and he sent them all back out. And you're talking with some of the guys on the Buckeye Cruise where every year you'd meet with them and develop these goal sheets. I've got them somewhere in my office. Like I ran through them, Gene, I'm looking and I was like, wow, like one of my goals was to get a graduate degree. I don't even remember that being a goal, but it's like when you write stuff down, you talk about a plan of how to achieve it. Like it just, when I got done playing football, it's like, okay, well, let's do this. And I completely kind of forgot about that and my personal life with my kids and all these different things. And so he was big, very big in the development of it. And then probably our defensive coordinator, right? I tell guys this a lot when you're younger and any parent or anybody that's older, like the more coaches yell, I say yell, the harder they are. And you generally it's because the more they care. And Mark D'Antonio, he was a relentless, relentless coach. And a lot of that was because he knew how much guys had to give. He was demanding, but then also he'd be able to put his arm around you. And if you look at the success he had as a coordinator here at Cincinnati as a head coach, and then ultimately at Michigan State, which many Ohio State fans understand what he was able to produce there, it's very impressive. So, he honestly, as a football player, probably challenged me and then would challenge me if my grades weren't good. And, I know your parents, he's a Zanesville guy. He's like, you need to be here. Like, don't think that if you give me less than that, it's going to be okay. And there were days that I hated it at practice. And the meetings I had were confrontational sometimes, but he was brutally honest. And you need that sometimes when you're 18, 19, 20 years old.
Gene, Bobby touched on the connections that are available to Ohio State graduates or people who play sports here around Central Ohio and around the country, and that culture of being a Buckeye. We've had four head football coaches in your 19 years at Ohio State, starting with Coach Tressel and Coach Bobby. But how do you think that culture at Ohio State has remained so constant throughout those years in your time here at Ohio State?
Well, it's because of those coaches. I mean, at the end of the day, when it gets down to it, coaches are really the engineers of these young people's lives. And then Bobby mentioned it a couple of times when you talked about D'Antonio, talked about Tress. Their kids are impressionable. So when they're 17, 18 years old, they're looking for guidance. And he also mentioned, which I think is so important, particularly today, and it's always been important, is kids need to be told the truth. They want the honesty. They want the authenticity. And I think for us, having an environment like Columbus, where you have people like Bobby and others who have stayed here, it gives us a chance in today's world to point to, hey, if you're at Ohio State, Columbus is a great place to live. It's a great place to be. And you're able to point to all these successes of many athletes from many sports who've gone on to different careers in different industries. And J.P. Morgan Chase, for example, has so many former Buckeyes in it. It's mind-boggling. Or Amgen that just opened up in New Albany. It's been a company in California that's taken a few of our interns, and now they'll be doing it locally. And ultimately, when you intern, you ultimately sometimes get hired. And so we have student athletes who are working in law firms and working in investment companies. It's just, Columbus is a great place to be. It's one of the fastest growing cities in this country. And when you're here, you get a chance to really see Columbus. You see Ohio State, as Bobby shared, you get to walk around it. But when you really invest in yourself and get to see the city, it's pretty cool. So we focus on that. We try our best through the Leadership Institute to try and get our student athletes involved in our community and encourage them to stay as best we can. And so it's really, really a good culture to have when you have so many great athletes that stay here and we can point to them. And encourage our young people that they could do the same thing and grow families and be in a great place.
Do you anticipate that cyclical growth and success both around Central Ohio and at Ohio State? Do you see that continuing and then moving into the future?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think the great thing about Ohio State is everything that we have that is embedded in our geography. You just think about all the different industries. Basically, Ohio is an agricultural state, but we've evolved, and so now we have biotech. Now you have Intel coming out of the ground, and who knows ultimately how many jobs that will or produce. And I would imagine that we'll have plenty of Buckeyes that will work as part of that workforce. Our governor and lieutenant governor has done a great job, in my view, of trying to recruit different companies into Ohio. Jobs Ohio, our Columbus Partnership, all those different organizations, they do everything they can to recruit different companies to Ohio. So if you're majoring in finance, if you're, majoring in biosciences or whatever you're majoring in, you could find it here in Central Ohio. And so our task is to link those young people up, particularly in their junior years, with those di different organizations so that ultimately they get an opportunity to find a job. And that's really something I think will be long lasting for us. The Leadership Institute is endowed. So however that the ecosystem changes, the institute will change with it, because kids change. And so you have to adjust. And so, but I think the reality is we're in a great place, and we'll be able to continue to keep student athletes here. And the other thing, lastly, is student athletes, the lessons that are learned through athletic participation and competition, give them a legs up. Give them a legs up. I mean, last night I was speaking to about 100 students, and we had probably about 15 athletes in the room. And I remember at a point in my Q&A session, I looked at one of our rowers, and I asked her. She just happened to be sitting in the front row. I gave an example. I said, "If you have an 8 o'clock start time at your job, what time are you going to show up?" And of course, she said 7:45. I mean, that's just what athletes do. You're never going to be late. As Bobby shared, he had to walk to class, but he also had to be in practice in time. I mean, so it's these working with people from all walks of life. I mean, all these different things that student athletes just naturally do, it gives them an opportunity that a lot of young people don't have.
Bobby, I know that there are ample opportunities around Central Ohio for student athletes and Ohio State graduates to pursue, but I also know that there are a lot of athletes that struggle to determine what their next step is going to be after life in sports. So as you approached the end of your playing days, how did you go through that process and determine your next steps?
Yeah, that's a pretty big question there, because it's easy when you're a player. Players always want to tell coaches they want to call the plays, but really, you want to run what's given to you for the most part. All of a sudden, when you're done playing sports, you're not just the player anymore. You're the coach, you're the general manager. You have to figure out everything. It's not, "Hey, I want to be great at this." It's, "Well, I want to be great, but I'm not sure how, and I'm not sure what." So they have a lot of energy and a lot of effort to give, but there's just an element of focus. And one, I had some great advice. And, I used to go meet with guys like Vrabel and Joey Galloway and all these guys that are around that are just great resources. And so I try to pay that forward and continue to be a resource, just a conversation to be had to kind of talk guys through some situations and opportunities they might see. But one of the best advice I got was someone's like, start a lot of fires, and like, try a lot of things. You don't know what you love until you actually try it. You may think you have an idea, but there might be something out there that you're even more passionate about that you didn't even realize existed. So try to experience a lot. And you do that, like Gene said, through internships, through shadowing programs, talking to people, trying things out. And the best part, I mean, you're an athlete at Ohio State, people want to help you. They want to give you opportunities because they know a lot of times what the fabric that you're made of. They want you to work for them, so they're going to try to make it as appealing to that to you as possible. And this is what you can do. Now, do you love it? And find something that you love to do. And so I started a lot of little fires, like got involved in some media while I was playing. Boom, do a little bit of media. You played at Ohio State, there's a lot of Ohio State fans. Ohio is the seventh largest state in the country. There's 11 million people. And I always joke, probably 10 million of them are Buckeye fans. So you got a lot to work with. If you want to get in that element, in that area, people all across the country, you want to get in some finance stuff, want to get in a little bit of real estate. My parents were both teachers and coaches by trade. So I was like, okay, I'll get my master's, try to figure these things out while I'm working in media. And to tell you the truth, the sad thing is I really haven't divested as much as I would have liked, much to the chagrin of my wife. That's why I'm still teaching this class, my finance class at Ohio State, which I used to do spring and fall. Fall has become kind of overwhelmingly busy with kids sports and media obligations and, you know, different responsibilities with some of my companies and things that we're involved in. But I still love to do it in the spring. And so I try to do that. And, you know, just trying to be a lifelong learner and always trying to progress some different things and trying to get involved. One of my favorite things is to get involved in different opportunities with my teammates, because you know what those people are made out of. You know that they share a lot of the same values as you. And a lot of them love to move back here. They want to be involved in things. And so as I was talking to Cody Simon on the Buckeye crew, is a just phenomenal young man. I remember talking to him and his parents on their recruiting trip here about what he could do. And, you know, here's one of my business partners. You know, he starts talking to him. And, you know, I talked to my partner afterwards. You know, he's a, you know, passionate Ohio State fan, loves, contributes in a lot of different ways. He's like, yeah, Cody Simon's a really smart kid. I'm like, hey, he's a finance major. He does this and that. And, you know, like, you see the wheels start spinning. I'm like, hey, there's opportunities here if you put a great impression upon people. And so it's like, talk to a lot, cast as wide a net as possible. And then over years, try to hone that thing down, whether you play post career or not in whatever sport it is, your sporting life will come to an end. Like, and it will come to an end generally when you have a lot of life left and you'll be a young person by societal standards. And so what do you choose to do with those next years? And that's the biggest challenge for guys and girls. So like, figure it out, like cast that wide net and then kind of see where it lands.
Bobby, you've still got a lot of fires burning, like you said, but what about your career do you find most rewarding now? And what do you find to be most challenging?
Oh, goodness. Well, rewards and challenges are usually the same thing, because as Woody Hayes used to say, anything easy ain't worth a damn. So like, the stuff that's the hardest is usually the things that are the most rewarding. And so there's different challenges uniquely. Like, I love teaching at Ohio State because I love talking to, it's mostly third and fourth years, people that are 21, 20, 22 years old. And I feel like trust now talking, is like the way that they look at the world is so much different because the paradigm that they grew up in, like, it's a different reality. So I see a problem and I'm like, all right, I have tools A, B, and C. And they might look at me like, yeah, I like tool B, but we've got this whole other bucket of things that we've thought about and how we can just change the situation. Like, okay, because you grew up in an era that's much different than I am. And so some of that's a challenge when they push back on things. A lot of times it's similar with my kids and coaching their sports. But when you watch that growth and to see those things happen, it's incredibly rewarding. And so of all the things you do, like, human development is probably the thing that I enjoy the most, of whether that's, you know, people in, you know, some of our different businesses, of watching them grow and trying to mentor them, or talking to, you know, some of the players, you know, young guys on the football team at Ohio State, teaching class, working with my kids, because you get to watch that growth and you get to see what you're reaping, you know, what you sow is ultimately what you reap. And so it's such a fun thing to do. And so of all the things I do, you know, people chasing dollars and making money is great. And it gives you, you know, financial resources give you the opportunity to really help contribute to a lot of different ways and are great things. But, you know, the development of human beings and things that you love, that's something that probably is embedded in me from my parents and then playing for some phenomenal coaches who love to invest.
Gene, we have a number of current and former student athletes that, like Bobby, have entrepreneurial aspirations. What do you think it is about student athletes that draw them to that career path?
Well, I think it's, you know, we're kind of all the total sum of our experiences in life. And, you know, Bobby sharing his background is a perfect example of that. He's had multiple experiences, you know, from his time as a recruit, his parents' conversations, his experiences with coaches, and he had some advice that, you know, gave him an opportunity to say, okay, you know, I'm gonna chase putting things in, multiple things in the fire. And so he's he's a perfect example. And so what you really want to do is try and help young people find a passion as they go through their early years in their life. You know, don't find a job, find a career, find something you enjoy. And when you're, as soon as you graduate, you know, from the time you're 21 or 22 to a certain age, 30 something, that's when you should be experimenting. You should be trying different things, and you ultimately will find something along the way. But I just think it's important for all of us to keep the focus on, like Bobby said, on, you know, developing people and trying to help them be the best that they can be.
Bobby, before we let you go, as you alluded to, the current atmosphere for student athletes and students at Ohio State now is different than what it was when you were on the roster. What do you think our current student athletes, our current Buckeyes, can do to best navigate the new and turbulent waters that they're wading through?
Yeah, it's a lot different now than what it was. And my dad used to always tell me when I was coming out, he goes, it's way different now than it was in the 70s. And I kind of thought we'd kind of landed on it kind of is what it is moving forward. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see the change in the NIL and the transfer portal. I think it's great to have great mentors, people that will provide, you know, a great ear. You know, I like to talk to the guys, and hopefully I've always provided sage wisdom. I try to listen to how Tress would always talk to us. He'd always ask a lot of questions. And then by usually asking those questions, you kind of figure things out yourself and understand some things. But we live in such an instant gratification society. And it was a great relief to kind of see some of the guys this year on the football team who could have potentially left and gone to the NFL, but said, hey, you know, maybe there's still some development left for me as an individual, maybe still some development left for our team, because you think the grass is greener. And I remember having a conversation with Mike Vrabel, who was, you know, was around. He was good friends with my linebacker coach and D coordinator, Luke Fickell. You know, he played a long time in the NFL. I'm like, man, I'd love to be like this guy. And think like, maybe it's time for me to leave college. And he goes, once you leave school, you're not going to get developed the same way. He goes, so understand that. Like, if you think you're done and finished, you can get better, but it's going to be a lot on your own terms. Because the people at the next level, they're trying to win. And not that you're not trying to here, but they're not going to be as invested in your growth. And the grass looks really green, but it may not always be. And so we've got to understand, like Gene, we talked about earlier, like the people that give you the hard truths of life. And it doesn't mean they're yellers or they're you know, brash, but sometimes you got to be honest and be willing to accept those things. And we live in a society where like affirmation is king. So sometimes if you have an idea that maybe isn't the best and someone pushes back on it, you get a little upset, but there are people that have wisdom that are trying to help. And when you can develop those personal relationships, I think sometimes that comes off better than, you know, someone yelling at people on social media or all these different things, but you can be honest and talk to them. And I think that that's probably the best way to go. You know, I know Gene's retiring now. So I think when you're retired, it's fair to call someone they're a senior in their position at this point. He's worked more days than he's going to work. And people that have been around, they've seen a lot. And it doesn't mean that they saw the exact same thing, but there are a lot of similar situations that maybe the prism's a little different, but the picture on the end is fairly similar. And so how you get to those points, discussions with people that might be a little bit older, and given that age gives them a little bit more wisdom, in a society that values youth so much, wisdom can be a great asset. And so I always encourage guys, like, I don't, you want to listen to me? Great. That's fine. You don't, better, but go talk to somebody else who maybe has a differing opinion of you, or maybe the same, or talk to, but they'll have an idea of something to look at a little bit different because they've maybe been in a similar situation before.
That's right. I mean, you know, it made me think about something I actually shared last night in my speech. And, you know, everyone, wherever you are, needs to find and empower that one person that you allow them to tell you the truth about yourself, you know, and be vulnerable, open up, and just let them in. Because we all have blind spots. Yeah. And, you know, my dad used to always say, through the eyes of others, you see yourself. If you don't let those people tell you the truth, the honest truth about you, you might continue to have those blind spots. So I always encourage people to talk to other people, open up, be vulnerable, be curious, and just listen and learn. Because you know, wherever you do in life, people are the heart and soul of all that matters, and you're always going to encounter people. So it's something that I really think is important. So what you just said is so true. You just need to engage with people and listen and learn.
And something tells me well after and into his retirement, Gene is still going to be getting phone calls and texts looking for advice and sage words of wisdom.
He can ask Tress about that. Tress works more now than he did when he was actually employed.
Yeah, he told me that. He's like, he has a schedule. That's unbelievable. I'm trying not to have a schedule.
Gene is deleting his calendar app as soon as he retires. Yeah. Gene, before we sign off here, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what we have coming up on campus?
Yeah, we have a lot going on. Like we said earlier, this is the busiest time of year. In fact, this weekend we're hosting the men's Big Ten swimming champions at McCorkle, starting on Thursday, and really excited about our men's team opportunity. And we have our women's gymnastics team on Friday night and men's volleyball Friday night. And then we're hosting the first round of the WCHA women's ice hockey tournament. Our women's ice hockey team is number one in the country. And we play Friday at 6, and then Saturday it's the best of three. And so Saturday at 3 and then Sunday. So hopefully we can win the first two and get out of it. But of course, we got basketball. Really excited about our women's basketball team having a chance on Wednesday night, winning it all. And then our men's team playing Nebraska on Thursday. And then they play Sunday against that team up north at 4:00. So we just got a lot going on. And women's tennis plays Sunday at noon. And here, but other teams are traveling and going to the good weather. So that time of year for us.
This is the time of year all of our student athletes come back looking much tanner than the rest of us.
Exactly right.
But that does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Incova Insurance. Thank you again to Bobby for taking the time to join us today. Really appreciate it. And we really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed this far. Be sure to leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time, for Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Be well and go Bucks.
Bucks.